Hey, Podfathers listeners, you can find us every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Dad, I'm hungry. Hi, Hungry. I'm Daddy.
What do you think, I'm made of money? Money doesn't even grow on trees. When you pay the rent, you can make the rules.
Remember, don't make her peas your peas.
Have you heard about the new restaurant on Mars? The food's great, but it's got no atmosphere.
Hey, come here. Pull my finger.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Podfathers, the best parenting podcast in the universe, presented by Barstool Sports. It's your pal Clem here. We got Large and Dirty Jersey Chaps down in the state of Texas. What is up, boys? Large boy. Were you in England for that fight there?
Yeah, I slipped across the pond. Did a quick visit to Wembley Stadium. 94,000 people, 54 degrees. Watched the Gypsy King knock out Dillian White in the sixth round with a clean uppercut, then a pretty big push. and now he's going to retire or fight Francis Ngannou. It's all smoke and mirrors. He's just trying to pump up either the unification bout against the Usyk AJ fight, Anthony Joshua fight, which happens probably at the end of July, or to bump up this Ngannou fight. I don't know anymore at boxing. If you get to that level where you have a certain degree of celebrity and a certain degree of talent, maybe it makes more sense to fight exhibition stuff against old MMA guys than it does to step into a ring against, you know, one of your peers. So
yep. I read an article this morning, Large, boxing related. Klitschko, the Ukrainian, coming out of retirement to fight Tyson Fury is a possibility after the war's over.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Yeah, so one of the guys, the war has taken a couple of people from us, right? It's obviously the Klitschko brothers. One of them is an actual Ukrainian politician.
He's a mayor,
Klitschko. Then Lomachenko, one of the lightweight fighters, turned down a fight against this guy, George Kambosos, who has a shitload of belts that Lomachenko should win back, turned it down because he's concentrating on the war. Then this guy, Usyk, Alexander Usyk, who's a crazy undersized heavyweight, is going to pull away from the war effort to try and have the mandatory rematch against the guy who he stole the belts for. So this war, on top of being one of the most interesting things in recent history, has also affected, I think, boxing more so than other professional sports, because there's so many Eastern European fighters mm-hmm. that are good, and particularly from the Ukraine or from Russia. You know what I mean? So Canelo is fighting a guy named Bivol in May 7th in Vegas. I'll be there. And like, people are like, will a Russian get a clean decision on the cards? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people,
it's like affecting that, even like their cornermen and stuff. Like Peter Yan, he's a lightweight in the UFC, and he didn't have his normal corner people because they didn't want to corner him because he's Russian. Like now,
Jesus,
you know, you make a good point too, chaps. I say boxing, contact sports, mm-hmm. UFC and boxing. So
yeah, the Bellator champion had to go into the rubble to get his belt.
Right. It really hits home with some of the stuff that you see, you know, on top of obviously the more important stuff, you know, including people who are getting killed in their homes while in Ukraine, thoughts and prayers. So that actually filters into everything. But big women's fight this week in the Garden, Amanda Serrano versus Katie Taylor. First time the ladies are headlining the main room in Madison Square Garden. First time in history. It's the biggest female boxing event in the history of the sport.
Wow.
And then, you know, it's fight after fight after fight because all the other sports are over. So boxing's trying to cram everything in while they can get the eyes, you know, before, you know what I mean? Like before really the playoffs start in earnest for, you know, final start for NBA and stuff like that. So it's a perfect time of year for me. I'm in love with it. You know that.
And you're the boxing guy here. Might have been the nice little timing of everything, right? All these fights coming, and then Large gets himself a new contract. So
yeah, that's a beautiful thing. We're doing the color for Canelo versus Bivol. Dave, Dan, and Robbie are doing ringside color for it. I'm not on that crew because the Rough and Rowdy crew. I'm going to do the pre-show stuff before the fight. I'm going to do the pre-show with Dan and Rob, and then Dave's going to replace me and do the color. I think they're doing color for four fights, and this isn't for three 2-minute round and rowdy fights. Like, if these things go the distance, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, Chaps,
they're going to be gas. Yeah.
Like, me and Chaps were sitting there trying to talk about three fights on the card, right? And we got up and went for beers for a half hour.
Right.
And then, like, I spoke to the Zone people.
How many times can you go, oh,
I spoke to the Zone people. I'm like, are you really giving these guys four fights? They're like, by the way, if one of the guys fighting is a Chinese fighter I love. His name is Big Bang Zhang, the Great Wall.
Nice. Oh, it's a great name.
It is.
That's a great name. I'm betting.
Sounds like an awesome dish from TGI Fridays, too.
Please do not bet on him. He's fighting this guy, Philip Hergovic, who's going to wash him up. But I got Big Bang Zhang next Wednesday in Vegas. I know his trainers. Mills Lane, let's get it on. His sons are promoters now, so they promote Big Bang Zhang.
You should get him on Glennie Ball's new show.
Yes. Only fans. But like, let's say Big Bang Zhang gets knocked out in the first round. You know, maybe Dave and Dan would be like, okay, we can get to no, they have a swing match. So they have five potential matches lined up. If things are going too quickly, they have two other fighters just on deck who may or may not fight. So they're gonna earn their keep, and that's gonna be the alternate feed for the DAZN fight on May 7th for Canelo Bivol. You do it through DAZN still. But then sort of like how you pick closed captioning, you can pick the Barstool difference or some shit like that. And you'll get to see our guys talk about the fights in real time. So
there you go.
That's fucking cool.
Internal stuff.
I have a question for you. So I didn't even realize you were heading over to England, and I saw one of your tweets that had like the location. It said Wembley Stadium. I was like, what? I was like, I don't think you could even do that as a joke or whatever. Do you still get souvenirs for the kids? Like, I just went to Chicago. I got souvenirs for the kids on the way back. And I basically think I'm in this for at least like another 5 years, because they go crazy for it. Does Bridge still get like something if you go somewhere noteworthy? Like, I think England's like a cool enough place. Or at this point, is it kind of like you guys are grown up enough?
Yeah, I think we're past that. Like, for a while there, we were a snow globe family.
Mm.
I don't know. Yep. And then we went from being a snow globe family to only being a snow globe family if they were plastic, because we had a lot of broken snow globes. But if I go away to do something, Annie's coming with me to Vegas because it's Mother's Day and it's on our anniversary. So she's coming to the fight out in Vegas. But even like that, or any kind of comp, every other vacation we go on, like the Bahamas or something like that, we always do Christmas ornaments.
Yeah.
So then I've been on certain trips by myself where I brought home Christmas ornaments. And then when you go to put it up on the tree, where everyone's like, oh, I remember when we were in Hershey and it's a Hershey Park thing. Or I remember when we were in, you know, Florida, it's a Florida thing. But then when you go up and you're like, oh yeah, my San Diego ornament, and nobody else in the family went with you, they're like
boo.
So yeah, so now we're done with Christmas ornaments unless we're all together, and we're done with snow globes because of the fact that we're just clumsy.
And I mean, like the 18th snow globe, but just taking up enough counter space or shelf space in the house, right?
I highly recommend the family trip. Even if you guys go to, we went to like Ocean City, Maryland. You know, it's like kind of a strippy thing. Like
fantastic place to get crabs and beer there. It's called Mugs and Mallets. You can get 25 cent beer, man. Unlimited crabs.
And that's what that place is all about. There's like mini golf courses, great donut shops, great crab shops and stuff. But it's not like one of those vacations that is like a big vacation, particularly for people up north, because you drive there. But we even got an ornament from the ferry we took from the tip of New Jersey, I think, to like Delaware, maybe. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And like when we hang that up, it's like, oh shit, remember when we put our car on the ferry? Like, it sounds so stupid. You know what I'm saying? But so I highly recommend, because as you build this up now, you know, like we've been doing vacations with Mick, I guess, for 17 years, our whole Christmas tree now Like I go in and I see some people's Christmas trees are like matching ornaments and stuff that they bought in sets in there. Our whole Christmas tree is just fucking madness.
Which is but the way to go.
But the madness, every one of them is either those cool little pictures of the kid, you know what I mean? Like the kids when they were in third grade that they made for their mom. And it really is. It's the best Christmas tree in the fucking world because of that. It's not the prettiest. Like Willie has a guy come and do his Christmas tree every year. When it comes to by the way, I was Easter Bunny for him last week. I went to his house and did the Easter Bunny thing. It was awesome. And, but he has somebody do his Christmas tree. And I think like, as they go along, get that fucking, you know, it looks like a Victoria. It looks like the White House Christmas tree. But as you go along, I think it just gets better and better when it gets filled up with real shit.
Yeah. I almost, it's funny you said that. Cause when I was in Chicago, I was looking for someone to get the kids. And I was right in Wrigleyville, and it's weird with sports teams. Like, I don't want to get them Cubs stuff because they're not Cubs fans. I don't want them to become Cubs fans. I don't want them to be like, oh, this cute little Cub, and then AJ's a Cub fan.
What if you did that to yourself, Clem?
Yeah, exactly.
You switched AJ to being a Cubs fan.
He's already going to root against me my entire life, but then if I give him a team and then him and Carl become this unholy union, that's no good for anybody right there, right?
What so, if AJ developed a personality like I had with my dad, where I looked at whoever my dad's favorite team and I picked the opposite? Like, he liked the University of Florida, I was picking Florida State. He liked Miami, I was going to go with Jacksonville when they came into a league. He liked the Florida Marlins, I liked the Atlanta Braves. Anything that he liked, I picked the opposite just to fuck with him.
Yep. And I'm telling you, I think that's what I'm getting here, because I knew a few people like that, and I was like, how could you be a Red Sox fan just because your dad was a Yankee fan? You live in New York. And it's like, there's that much deep-seated hatred, trolling, whatever you want to call it. The kid the other day, we were sharing ice cream cones. The girls got an ice cream cone, my wife and my daughter, because everyone knows you don't give young kids a full ice cream cone unless you want to fucking jump out of the car on the way home. So we're sharing it. Three licks into the cone, basically. Kid just bites the cone. There's a whole thing of ice cream on top, and now I have the instability. There's an absolute power move. Every week here, I'm just going to be AJ's power move of the week. That was his power move of the week. Last week, he said he was going to bite a shark. He just doesn't give a fuck.
I like that move, too.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with this goddamn kid right now. You think
Mick chose Alabama because they went to Notre Dame? Because we did. Oh, that backfired. He was like, I'm going to Alabama. Can I go to Alabama? I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go. Let's see a winning team.
Now, SEC, baby.
Yeah, Michigan would have been the move. He's going to get down there and Saban's going to magically retire. He's going to retire early and it's going to be some bum. They're going to go out and hire Mike Bobo again.
Michigan, I wouldn't have let him go.
He wouldn't let him go.
He could go, but he'll have to find a way to get there and pay for it. Yeah. I wouldn't be involved.
Academic standards a little higher in Michigan too than Alabama, I would imagine.
Slightly.
Yeah, much. What's going on with you, Daddy Boy? Anything exciting these days?
Not really. Things are pretty fucking lame over here. The pool, man. Like having a pool, I kind of think it's like having a boat. Like where now I'm just gonna start setting aside, because we do like little bank accounts and like set aside money for home repair, set aside money for a vacation. Like where we don't look at those accounts, but we know money's going in there. So stuff is going on. And if we have something big, we can go get it out. I feel like I have to do that with the pool, like where you're just going to have a couple things that go wrong with it at the beginning of the year, they're going to have to pay for. And it kind of sucks because you're like, why does this? It's just plumbing. What? I don't have to fix my toilet every year, but now I got to fix this pump because it was outside. It's designed to be outside. It's designed to be wet. How could it fuck up?
Dude, I've had like a come to God moment recently, because we've been talking about putting a pool in the yard for the last couple of years, because my dad's about to retire, want to have a guy, you know, can get us a little discount and yada, yada, yada. And I spent my entire childhood working in a pool store and just hearing those complaints from people. Well, hey, how can I help you? Bury my fucking pool with cement. I want this thing covered. I hate this fucking thing. Yeah. It's a money pit. It wastes my time. The kids don't swim in it, blah, blah, blah. And you're in Texas, so you have a longer season than we do up here. And I'm like, why am I going to do to myself what all, like thousands of people were telling me not to do? So
that being said, no matter the cost, I'll pay for it, because having it has been incredible. Like being able to just go out, listen to music, barbecue, and swim on a Saturday and not really have to make plans and everybody has a great day has been fucking awesome too. Like that was, I think last summer was possibly like the best family summer that we've had top to bottom.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot. So my dad has had his store for more than 40 years, and the last 2 years have been the busiest he's ever been because of the pandemic. And I think people just getting out more. So I feel like a lot of people are using the pool for that reason. And I guess that kind of makes sense. Large, just, you know, you're going to go back to the country club at any time, Large? Because that was Large's pool. He doesn't have his country club anymore, I don't think.
The dude who we called to put in a pool when we first moved into the house was during the pandemic. They were like 6 months before we call you back. Yeah. Like, it was one of those things where.
Wow.
And so how long have we been in the house? I don't know. I just got a message from him. Hey, are you still interested in getting a pool? Because now our thing is opened up and stuff. And I had, you know, we had done some stuff in the backyard, which would negate us ever having a pool back there, thank God. And I said, not only am I not interested, please take me off all mailing lists going forward. And it was very cathartic to say, because I think it's a different story in San Antonio. I was in San Antonio for a week and it was randomly just 89 degrees. And Chaps was like, yeah, but look at the breeze. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, you need a pool down there. It was 93 one day. And we're talking, it was April.
There is no day on our forecast. It's rainy today, but other than that, the 10-day forecast, every day is already in the 90s.
And it's April.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think up here, you know, a lot of it is that you spend all that money on a pool and, you know, for more than half of the year, for most of us up here, right, Clem, it's spent with a tarp over it, right? You know, so it's not, that's why the club was so perfect. And then we got the place down in Point Pleasant. So otherwise I would never do that. It's the same thing with the boat. I'll never have a boat. Bring out another 1,000 is what boat stands for.
Mm-hmm. And that is absolutely true. I had a boat a couple of years ago and I legitimately paid somebody $1,000 to take it out of the marina. Like, I was like, because I couldn't sell it. The lakes down here, it was super dry. So all of them were basically empty. Nobody could even get out. And I paid this old, he's a former Marine that was like 70 years old. I paid him $1,000 to take it out of the marina and put it at his house.
By the way, it's the same thing with, it's the same thing with French Bulldogs. I will pay anybody $1,000 to come get this bitch.
And obviously, you know, we're married and older. It's not the case for us. But I said, if you're young and you're thinking about a boat, just buy yourself a fucking $5 floaty boat chain. And you could go to the bars, put it on the table, be like, oh, you have a boat? Make up a nice story about it, you know, to a nice young lady or man, whatever your poison is, and go from there. Because there's just no fun. Boats and pools. That's the fucking, that drives so many people crazy and broke at the same time. So I get a lot of people do the, what's it called, too? The Intex, those little like inflatable pools, or they're like, they're not legit pools, but they have the big walls and stuff. You'll see them at Costco. And let me tell you guys, as someone that worked in the pool industry, the filters suck on those things. You're going to spend more money on the filter to get that thing filled with water, and it's going to just fall apart. Not worth it as well. So I don't know why I'm fucking with the pool industry here, considering it put my ass through college and, you know, kept my put a full family through college and housing. But
if they are looking for a pool in the greater New York area, Clem, where should they go?
Different Strokes Pools.
That's exactly right.
Since yeah.
1980, I believe. So 42 years now, right on Route 6, right by the Jefferson Valley Mall, where I saw DMX, may he rest in peace, at a sushi steakhouse. So you get everything you want up here. Some hip-hop concerts and a pool store within one traffic light of each other.
You throw in a timeshare and I'm on my way.
So you know what you should do? If you're not going to be getting a pool, you're not going to be getting a boat, what you do is you just take care of the nice yard you have outside. You know, it's getting nice outside. Spring is sprung. It's green on the grass. It's beautiful. I love when the flowers pop in. I'm a big tree guy now too. I don't know about you guys. On my trip, my taxi to and from Chicago, I had two different cab drivers here in New York, and both of them, we just talked about their new trees they had in their yard, and it was so fucking fun.
What kind of tree are we talking here?
I forgot the name of it. I was gonna say it for the podcast. The other was fig trees. You got two fig trees here.
I got a fig tree.
Yeah, what do we think?
I like it. It's not fruit bearing yet, but I also, if you haven't fucked with a Chester oak, oh buddy, you haven't lived. We got this huge Chester oak in the middle of my yard. It's a cardinal haven. We got cardinals all over the joint. You would think this shit's St. Louis because it's basically Albert Pujols is dripping from the trees. It's beautiful, beautiful.
So I'm going to have to look into this one now, because you sent me the video. You have your little bird feeder up. I have my bird feeder up. Nothing beats the majesty of a cardinal. A cardinal, a blue jay, any baseball bird, basically, I freak out for. A finch, a nice yellow finch, love to see that. And then when the yard's looking good and the birds are chirping, man, that's when I'm like, I'm happy I live here again, because I'm basically miserable in New York.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Imagine putting down fertilizer on your yard that killed the cardinal.
He would feel
like such an asshole.
Bite your tongue, man. Bite your tongue. Have you had a dead bird just pop up in your yard?
No, thank God. Knock on wood. I have not.
I had a double killing a few years ago. I think I might have actually like live videoed it on Twitter because I was just so shocked. And as the man, I had to get rid of the thing. I don't want the kids touching it. I don't want, God forbid, some animal touching it. And just bad juju in the air, man. It fucks with your day, man. It fucks with your entire life.
You don't have to get rid of it as the man, by the way. That's an arcane an arcane way of thinking.
Thank you.
Particularly Art. If one of your sons is a licensed plumber. Finn is all the dead animal removal in our house, because I am absolutely, I've told the story multiple times, I think, I'm terrified of dead animals, particularly rodents and even birds. So if there's a bird that I find dead on our property, there was a raccoon dead in one of our window wells. And it waited there until after 3 o'clock when Finn got out of school, because it wasn't going any sooner.
That's ridiculous.
100% ridiculous. It's, you know, I would even use a different word. It's cowardly. But I'll tell you what else.
I wasn't going to say it.
No, I know. It was on your mind, though. But it's also beautiful. And if he doesn't do it, I'll tell you what. She doesn't have anything on her hands. Get the fuck out. That is not a traditional sex role. I'll go inside and make a nice little, you know, chacrut while those guys go out and remove the dead.
Want a nice beef and barley soup, babe? While you do that, I'll go in here and whip it up.
Hey, Ann,
stroke it off.
And once you're done shoveling the driveway, there's a dead raccoon in the window well of the basement.
Yeah. The ginger snaps are warm. Hurry up.
Please don't paint yourself with that brush. And Clem, I wanted to ask you, just because I don't think either I definitely have, and I don't think Chaps or I have been out there since. How is that Chicago office? Is it fucking fantastic?
I love it, man. I fucking love it. It actually has like the same vibe in terms of the like look as the New York office, which was kind of weird. It's like the New York office, except if there wasn't piles of shit or, you know, clothes, whatever you want to call it, free stuff just given around and just like broken equipment everywhere. And I told the Chicago guys, I said like, oh guys, like I love this place. It's a lot less people. It's a little more intimate. And it has that like Barstool vibe, but without all the shitty parts of Barstool. And every single, like I had like four or five different people saying, like, I think, you know, it was like the producers up were like, well, if you had come here a month earlier before some of your New York assholes came out here, it'd be even nicer, but they already ruined this place. So it sounds like the problem is the humans in the New York office more so than the overcrowding.
Wouldn't doubt but, that 1 minute, just a bunch of fucking children. We need to put out a hiring just to hire an old drill instructor just to walk around HQ3 and just be like, clean this shit up. And we have mountains of interns. How the fuck can they not organize stuff?
So, Chaps, you haven't been out to Chicago?
No.
I haven't been out to Chicago. And Clem, I hear exactly what you're saying. Let me ask you, Chaps.
I might move to Chicago. That's where I'm at right now. I fucking love that office so much. And those guys, I'm thinking about moving to Chicago right now.
Clem, you tend to come into the New York office when there's some shit going on and stuff like that, when it's kind of, but Chaps can show up sometimes on these, like it's a horse without Dave in the, there's nobody in the fucking office now, hardly ever. Chaps, haven't you noticed how, even though it's a big office and stuff, it's exponentially more apparently dirty with less people in it? Like,
it
at least the people,
zero sense, zero.
If there are people in and around their clutter, like seeming like they have stuff, oh, I need that, or I need now. It's just piles of shit everywhere, kind
and
of
it's
waiting.
The same shit that never moves, and nobody's ever going to move it. It's like your trash can-iverse. I don't know how you live that way. I know it's the old, like 40-year-old guy in me, but I look around. I'm like, how can you even fucking think at these desks? Like we're like you're just so cluttered. It's
right.
They need something. They need some fucking discipline.
Discipline. Just, oh man, I thought our like boxing conversation at the start of this podcast was peak dadding, but we just hit the discipline word out of Chaps. Shake the fist at the sky. We said these.
I mean, it's just apparent. I don't want to say entitlement, but
entitlement.
It's entitlement.
Back in our day, Chaps, at HQ2, right? When we were fucking going there, wasn't? I mean, I guess it was just like this. It was just a lot less people. Now that I think about it.
Yeah,
and it was disgusting. Like the other HQs were disgusting, but like I said, there were people like actively pulling that green screen from behind the bar. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, or all of a sudden, like, can you get me this case of this shit? Like it all. And, you know, we have storage rooms that are like 30% filled, I think, you know, it's.
And the old ones, the first headquarters in New York was an old kind of rundown building that. Like old wooden floors that was just basic bare bones. This one's like a state-of-the-art New York right by Madison Square Garden office. Like it's nice and it's turned into shit. I mean, legitimately, you bring in some of these celebrities that are older, more established into some of these podcast rooms and you should feel embarrassed. Yeah. Embarrassed.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. It's fucking disgraceful.
It's fucking disgraceful. And again, the worst part is when the equipment just stops working. It's like, well, the whole reason we're here is for the equipment. We could just, the equipment we probably have at home. I know the internet's better at home, right? The equipment mm-hmm. we have at home is probably just.
We had good. It tell Kate yesterday. I told Kate, don't go to the multi-million dollar technology office to record a podcast. Do it on your couch through Spectrum, like because it's going to be better quality. That is legitimately crazy town.
That's
crazy.
Me today. I have to go in. If you're doing it in a podcast room with your podcast partner on a direct is fine. But I purposely need to do this thing here. Otherwise, I sound like fucking dick, you know? So
Kate says that sometimes she'll just have to kind of smile and nod. Like if I start talking, because she can't hear because the internet will break out if she's at the office. Ridiculous.
Oh, man. The absolute worst. This fucking company. This company gets worse.
You know what we need to do? In order for Pete really to want to fix the internet, everyone that has kids that are like 10 and under who are iPad addicted need to go hang out. And all the parents just say, Pete has the password. Go ask Pete about the internet. Like if he had 10, 15 kids that want to play Roblox coming down his throat, Pete would figure out an internet solution.
He'd figure out an internet solution real quick.
Just send McCartney up there. Shit. McCartney, no ADHD medication, and just send McCartney in there. Everything will be fixed in a week. No doubt.
We'll jump into some stories here now. This one was last week. We didn't get to it. I fucked it up. Their parents at a Grand River Academy, Livonia, were outraged when a kindergartner brought a bottle of ready-to-drink Jose Cuervo margaritas and multiple students drank from them. Alexis Smith is one of the parents. Her kindergartner had a Dixie cup full of mixed tequila drink and said she had 4 or 5 sips. The daughters were each given what they thought was juice during snack time, but in reality, it was Jose Cuervo pre-mixed at snack time brought by a fellow kindergartner. We had this last week in the rundown, forgot to get to it. Any initial takes on this entire story? Again, Cinco de Mayo next week, so I kind of like the timeliness of it all.
What's the ABV on these? Do we know?
Good question.
I think if it's below 6, you're fine. If it's just one Jose Cuervo, anything more than that, I feel like that's bad juju. You can't do that. Have more than one.
Cocktail mix. Let's see here. Margarita. I'm guessing margarita mix, right? That feels. Sure. Or no.
Yeah.
This is the individual cans, though. I'm looking at the big ditty. We'll say this one here. 355 milliliters, drizzly, 8% ABV.
Oh, that's high. Yeah, that's
a doozy. Now,
I mean, I much prefer them if they're going to drink something 8% alcohol by volume. I'd rather them get the pickleback whiskey that they can get in the cans. I would recommend the blueberry fizz. It's delicious. I would try that instead of these cheap ass margaritas that probably taste super processed, unlike the ones that are grown with 100% of state grown rye in the Whistle Pig Farms in Vermont. Mm. That's what I would prefer my kids drink instead of some shit that's filled with preservatives. I would rather them go with all natural flavors, such as.
What's the promo code? Is there a promo code or a URL on that?
ZBK? No, you don't even need a promo code because it's so good. Like you don't need. Oh. I'm not even concerned. Sure, they are the presenting partner of Zero Blog 30, but I would just drink them even if they weren't.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Large man would. Like,
I'm terrified of this. Does this ever happen to you?
That was my question. That was
my question. Like, I'm terrified of this because, like, three chi brownies look great.
Oh,
right. Gummies across the board look great. We've had this conversation multiple times.
Baby Dale ate a gummy.
Yeah, and you know, not great. I shouldn't be terrified of this because my kids like. My kids know what a three chi box is, and I have it all like, you know, I'm like, listen, you can't, even if you're hungry, Finn, you can't do these things. You know, like, it's specifically, like, I think Owen's Mixers does a transfusion for us that's kind of tasty, but it's a mixer. It doesn't have the New Hampshire vodka or whatever you've mixed with it. It tastes like a light grape soda or something like that. So this is a mistake that I think could be construed as a legit accident rather than a kid trying to, you know, booze it up in school and stuff. Cause these things are very, very fucking close and are very, very delicious for the most part. So,
and the can looks fun as shit. That looks like a kid's, like, you know, juice
like
can,
almost like an Arizona tea type of artsy can.
Yep, yeah, exactly. So I'm going to give the mom or the dad two like spin zones for them, because I know we would all feel like shit if our kids did this. You get the call from the principal and your kid's hosting happy hour at kindergarten.
You know what this is, Clem? This is simple. This should just another reason why school needs to start later in the day. If school started at a reasonable hour, you wouldn't have parents waking up in essentially the fog of war trying to pack a lunch. They would have Capri Suns and probably even Honest Kids juice, which are completely 100% sugar-free. I think that that's the way they would go instead of an alcoholic beverage in the morning. It's really a dereliction of duty by the school board, honestly.
The fog of war is the perfect way to like those packing lunch hours. That's the perfect way. Nighttime, when you're getting the bed, we're getting them bathed, fed, and then in bed, that's rush hour. And then the fog of war is those morning fucking hours. That's not fun.
It's the reason why I'm back on Lunchables, dude. Like, I pack Cardi's lunch every day, and it's just so easy just to be like, boom, I do here Chobani yogurt, Lunchable, Capri Sun with no sugar, granola bar, beef jerky stick, and some baked Doritos. And then I'm good to go. That's all I need to put in there.
Easy peasy and lemon squeezy. Uh-huh. If Eggo ever said they had like organic waffles, it would make me feel a lot better, because I just throw those in the kids' mouths every single morning for breakfast.
Kodiak cakes. So goddamn
easy. Kodiak cakes. There we go. All right. Great call. Great call. They'll fucking hate it, though. I know they're so addicted to the preservatives of Eggo. My two spin zones for these parents. Number one, it's good for your kid to learn what tequila tastes like at a young age, because they're probably not going to want to try it for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I remember the last day of school in second grade, I ran home after the bus. It was the last day of school, kind of, you're on that high. And I took a swig of a bottle that was on the table, not knowing what it was, just trying to be a silly asshole. Bottle of tequila. The parents were probably like, fuck, we have to deal with these assholes for the summer now. And I spit it out. And I, to this day, just get like shivers down my spine even thinking of tequila. And two, sharing is caring. And the fact that they shared this margarita with their classmates, that's pretty fucking good. The kid might be fucking dead if it just took a full-blown margarita to the dome, or fucking at least gone to the hospital. So I think that's a good thing, is when your kids share. I always like when the kids share. So those,
it depends,
are the
on what time of day they had it too. If you have it right before they go home, and you blessed parents on the East Coast whenever it was getting dark at like 4:30 in the afternoon, you blessed these kids with a hangover, like passing out whenever they got home, you might be the hero parent, honestly.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Five. Little content corner here. I sent this one along to you guys. Did you guys see the show? It's called Old Enough. And it's basically a show where they send little kids between the age of 2 to 5 on solo missions to buy groceries, drop off clothing at the dry cleaners, and deliver lunch to their parents at work. It's a Netflix thing. And it's called the most wholesome show you'll ever see, which, I mean, British baking show. They're coming for that ass, Chapsy.
I don't mind it at all, because I lived in Japan for 4 years, and Japanese children are unbelievably adorable whenever they're and this is exactly the way it is, because the Japanese culture treats children with such reverence that a lot of times kids that would be way too young to walk down the street in America will walk down the street and be totally fine in Japan. And they have such respect for children in the culture, unlike here, where I think a lot of times in America, it's like kids need to be quiet whenever they're out. We don't want them disturbing us at a restaurant. Japanese culture is not that way. Even if you're going, like, say you're on a major highway going down what would essentially be the interstate in Japan, if there's a child that is below the age of 10, and it's clear that they're below the age of 10, and they put their hand up in the air, all the traffic will come to a stop so that the child can walk across the street. And they teach you, like, whenever you get there, you have to do these cultural classes when you're coming from America going to Japan. And they teach you about the respect that they have for the kids, that if a kid is walking around at 3 or 4 years old and they appear to be in like a gas station by themselves, it's fine because the kids know where to go and they know how to get back home, and they're trusted with a lot more things than they are here in America.
Wow. I had no idea. I just looked at the, and if you can go on Netflix, you can look at the little trailer or whatever. I'm sure if you go on the app, it'll give you a little blur, little preview. It might just be the same thing. It kind of feels like when you're watching Kevin McAllister in Home Alone grocery shop by himself, you're like, oh, is he going to do it? And he remembers the fabric softener. You're just like, oh, that's so cute. It would be funny to watch like American kids that don't have that. That's basically Child Endangerment, like sending AJ out and being like, AJ, go get us, you know, a steak. And it's like watching Groot basically try to like not detonate the bomb in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Just send American adults out without their phones and a GPS and try to get across town.
Yes. How long can you be without your phone would be a fucking must watch.
I mean, if I told where we went, like if we went back to our old house, if we lived for 17 years and or like 12 years, I think actually. And if I told Kelsey, I would like you to drive to Costco, which is like a 15-minute drive. You have to turn like 3 times. There is absolutely no way she could do it. None. Like, because she doesn't pay attention when she's in the car. I feel like we had to when we were little because we knew that eventually we're going to grow up and we kind of have to know how to get back to our house and things like that, paying attention. These kids now, they don't give a I sound like an old man today. I'm going off on the cleanliness in the office. These damn kids don't even know how to read a map. Oh, 40 can't come soon enough. July 26th, it's coming.
I always say that watching our kids get older on this podcast is one of the coolest things, is seeing them grow up, but we're also turning into the old men we were probably chirping about when we first started this podcast. Yeah. God fucking damn it. And we have fucking Large here who's talking Adam's Family as his shows and stuff like that, man. No,
but I think there's two types of parents, right? Like, I think there's one, like Annie will be like, hey, Mick, I want you to go and get your tux for prom. I said, Annie, what the fuck? He doesn't know anything about tuxes or anything like that. So she'll spend like a half an hour sort of telling him what to do. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, the guy at the tux place may or may not take care of him. And I'm like, wouldn't it be just easier for you just to go and kind of do it? And that's my like cop out. And it's the wrong one. Like, Annie's like, no, like just have him do it. It's just like a small example. And I think Japanese people do that more often. Annie is Japanese, I guess what I'm saying. But I think it's more often than not, that's what they tend to do. And I think it's just better for the kids. Like, these kids have gone and got dry cleaning at 5. You know, they made their parents a fucking lunch that certainly wasn't a disgraceful Lunchable, you animal. And he did that at like 4. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, and you know what, these kids are prepared to go away to college.
Well, so I don't care about a Lunchable for McCartney, because I'm lucky if this kid eats anything besides macaroni and bagels. So getting any sort of protein, even if it is turkey from that. Oh, by the way, Large, you're going to want to throw up from this story.
Yes.
My wife is a great cook. She cooks amazing. I'm decent at it as well. And so Cardi's, and we go to nice restaurants. Cardi's been around good food essentially their entire life, everything they could remember now. Well, some days I'll make them like legit, I'll put in cold cuts and things like that into their lunch because they do like having turkey. Well, we were walking to the mailbox together the other day, and I was like, did you eat lunch at school today? And they're like, yeah, because we actually forgot their lunch and they got to buy lunch from school, which they don't normally like to do. And so I asked Cardi, I was like, did you like to school? I traded with my buddy. Well, what did you have? And they're like, Dad, they had this kind of sandwich that's so delicious, and I want to ask Mom to get it. And I said, what is it? And they said, it's like this turkey, but it's just round, and you have to take off like the plastic around it. And I was like, are you talking about bologna? Yeah. And Cardi was like, yeah, that's it, bologna. I love bologna. Dude, you know how hard I've worked in my life so you didn't have to go to school with cheap ass Wonder Bread bologna sandwiches? Like, that I worked hard so you didn't have to do that, and that's what you like?
Yeah. Yikes. Take the family out of Florida, but can't take the Florida out of the family, Chapsy boy.
Exactly right. I might just put a single wide and behind the pool and see if Cardi just wants to live in that thing.
Oh man. So I'm kind of interested in this show. I think it'll be a watch. But Large, you said it, like, it's only gonna get worse for these kids. Oh god, I'm sounding like the old man too. These kids, they grow up where Uber, they can get a ride whenever they want just on their phone. They can order food directly to their fucking doorstep whenever they want. They don't have, like, there's just going to be life skills that are not going to have to be learned that we had to learn. That, fuck, it kind of sucks though. Like, I wish I grew up in this era. I'm not by no means shaming them. I wish I grew up in the Uber era.
Did your parents do it? Like, I took Mick. He was there, and I was like, Mick, right, I put the tortilla into a pan, ungreased, warm it up, flip it over, a little bit of leftover Sunday sauce, and then a little bit of cheese. And
Gabagool.
Kind of slow, slow, medium heat. Wait till the bottom gets crispy. You'll see the thing starts to melt up top. Bang, tortizza. He's like, what? It's tortilla pizza. He's like, oh my God, this was fucking delicious. I'm like, make those for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if my parents ever did that to me, though.
Like, English muffin pizza was mine. I would learn English muffin pizza. Had that fucking
elite.
Oh, good.
Elite.
So good.
Yeah, but did your mom say, hey, little Clem, come over, put down the anime, and come over here and do this? But did she? I don't know. Did your mom?
Yeah, I did for like grilled scrambled cheese. Eggs. My mom taught me how to make like scrambled eggs and pancakes, and then I was able to start doing like the ground beef and things like that. Because I feel like if you teach a kid how to ground beef and how to cook a chicken breast on a frying pan, they will be, that's takes out the hardest part on a majority of meals that you can make as a young mm-hmm. person. Like, it just opens up the door for what you can make. If you could cook ground turkey, ground meat, and chicken breast, you'll be fine.
I just don't remember them ever doing it. Like, I would think I credit most the Food Network when it first started for most of the things that I have. And then like barefoot, you jump right? ahead now it. And like these kids, watch the Great American Baking Show or the Great British Baking Show. And then they're like, you know what? Oh man, I want to do one of those. I'm like, you want to fucking make a cake pop that looks like the Lord of the Rings characters when you can't do a fucking grilled cheese, you know? Okay, go ahead. And then you go in and your fucking kitchen looks like a bomb hit it. Right. Yep. So yeah.
There's levels to that. Like, I feel like there's college. You start out at English 101 or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing with cooking shows. When if your kid's getting ready to go, it should almost be mandatory viewing for them to watch Rachel Ray's show from like 15 years ago, where she would do her 20-minute meals, because that's where you're at. Then maybe mm-hmm. you can graduate and see what Giada's doing. Giada's what she's
Giada.
Doing.
Giada.
Yeah,
Giada.
And then you can move into some Barefoot Contessa.
Oh.
Yeah. I basically learned like the three things my parents taught me. I just ate that every day until now. That's all I know how to make. I can make a good sauce. That's about it. Nikki the Good, I'll have to take him up here. He'll be proud of me.
If you could sit down with one TV chef, Large, if you could make them, Clem is going to go with this person and enjoy everything that they make. Chap's going to go, who do you think you would assign to who?
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So if I had to give you guys each a celebrity chef,
yep, that I would be
definitely
the most happy with.
I would definitely go Rachel Ray for Clem. I think she does quick, easy, and delicious, and not necessarily that that, like, I don't think that's insulting to say at all, but I don't think she's overly gourmet either, because mm-hmm. I think you turn your nose up to it, and she doesn't do a lot of seafood, and we all know about Clem and fucking seafood. Mm-hmm. And then for you, Chaps, I don't know. I think you're pretty fucking. you hit the spectrum for it. And then I could see you having a lifelong relationship with a guy as varied and talented as Bobby Flay. I watch Beat Bobby Flay quite a bit, where like somebody's like, all right, we're making rabbit stew. And then he's got to fight the guy for 45 minutes making rabbit stew. And Bobby always takes it, but he always keeps like a Southwestern flair. Mm-hmm. So I think that'd probably make the most sense for you. That's
yeah, I don't like his morals, but I would like his food.
Oh, I know nothing about him personally. That is, see, that's the whole thing. I
think he's actually married to Giada now too, or Giada.
I don't know. And for myself, I'd pick Giada.
Yeah,
of course.
Actually, Joey just chimed in. If I was doing Mario Batali, would definitely be the one that I'd pick for Large, and for Clem, it would be Pioneer Woman.
Oh, I love Ree Drummond.
Like that's stuff, it. Just down home, like Clem comes in, long day picking up the kids, and he just is able to sit down with a nice casserole. You're telling me Clem, he doesn't like a casserole? Clem, you're a casserole guy.
I'm a casserole guy. Can confirm. Yeah. I'm looking at Pioneer Woman too. She definitely is. She's my speed. Yeah.
She lives on a ranch in Oklahoma with her husband, and I've watched the kids all grow up. And on top of making a lot of stuff from scratch, she's not afraid to bust out a can of like cream of mushroom soup to get that casserole over the edge. I like Ree Drummond a lot. She does a lot of quick stuff that I use too. So
when she makes a biscuit, dude, there's something. A proper biscuit is a fucking difference maker, man. I love a good biscuit.
What did Batali do? He got in trouble, right? He sexually abused somebody.
I think he sexually harassed a couple of employees, and it came out he was like a dick. Okay. I don't remember what all the details were, but apparently he's like a silent owner in a lot of his restaurants now too.
I was a big Paula Deen person. I think she's been canceled.
Definitely. So
the original
crushes cook. Butter. So much yeah, butter. I went to butter. Her place, my three sons, I think, in Savannah. I went there a few years ago. When I say a few years, probably 20. It was pretty incredible.
Fucking years are so fake right now too. 2019 was 3 years ago. I mean, and then like, fucking 2020 was 22 years ago.
I'm going to pump something. I'm doing We Didn't Start the Fire Again this week for Twisted History. You know, Stupid Song by Billy Joel.
Yep,
118 references. I'm doing the whole fucking thing. It's taking me 3 episodes. My episodes are an hour and a half apiece. 3 episodes. Every one of those little things means something. And it all happened between 1949 and 1989 when the song was released. It's in chronological order. It's a historic time capsule. Billy Joel did 40 years of stuff in order from 1949 to 1989. That fucking story, I'm telling you, I mentioned stuff from this thing.
Have you released that yet?
What? No, the first episode was last week. The second episode I'm going into to do now, and the third episode obviously is next week. The first episode, I get through the first 55, but like Trouble in the Suez, I mentioned it. I thought it was sewers because it was from Brooklyn. I thought that's the way. So I thought they meant like alligators, not the Suez Canal. The stuff that happened, particularly as we get to these later years, I feel like it was 10 years ago and it was 1988. I mean, it's like 33, 35 years. It's fucking crazy. Time is a construct. I don't abide by it anymore.
Yeah, after the pandemic, I'm done with fucking time. I'm done with years altogether. Like you said, Large, we're getting time? Close to where it's the same amount of time. Yeah.
Time is out. Big. Can we rebuke time it?
Oh, time is rebuked.
Big time. Oh, perfect. Right before the 40th birthdays, chaps, we rebuked time.
Get it out of here. I actually reached out to somebody I went to high school with. I saw him on my Instagram for the first time. I reached out to him. It was probably around Christmas time. And I was like, hey, I don't really talk to a whole lot of people from high school, but whenever we have the 20th anniversary, can you forward me that invitation? So I would like to go. And Lauren wrote back to me and she was like, dude, it was like 8 months ago. Like it already passed. So I was like, well, fuck. She's like, well, if we do a 21st reunion, I'll be sure to let you know.
I can see you guys would get along. At least a little fucking wisecrack zing there. We'll finish things off with one mailbag because I don't know how time sensitive this is, so I want to make sure we get it on the pod. Email came in at podfathers@barstoolsports.com, or you hit us up on Podfathers Show on Instagram or Twitter. Shout out our boy Joey Langone, half the man he used to be, got his little snippy, and we were exchanging war stories before this one live. He got fucking knocked out, chaps. He didn't even have to sit through and smell
coward's way out.
Coward's way out, exactly. Yeah.
We got Joey going all the way under to get fucking a vasectomy, and we got Large passed out because the raccoon died.
Men's men, me and you. Men's men. This one comes from Corey. First year dad here. My wife, my 10-month-old son, and I are going on 2 separate vacations within 6 weeks of each other. We have to fly for both. We've gone on several road trips with our son. It's usually like a 9-hour drive, so nothing short, but they've never flown, and at no time have I ever flown with an infant. You guys have any advice for making life with an infant easier and as smooth as can be? They have a pretty chill kid, but when you fly, anything can go fucking crazy. So you two boys, I haven't flown with any because I refuse to fly with babies flat out.
Best advice, it depends on who they're going to visit. Like if they're going to visit parents, my advice would be to pack less stuff. For instance, if you're going from New York to like Chicago, have your parents go to Walmart and buy a car seat from Walmart, use that car seat whenever they get there, and then they can return that car seat when they go home. So you don't have to take yours out at the airport and don't have to put it back in. And fuck Walmart, they make so much money, it doesn't even matter if you do that kind of stuff. And make sure that your child is incredibly hungry before getting on the plane. So then whenever you're taking off, you finally give them some food, and that'll help with their ears popping, and it'll get back to elevation level.
Whoo, Chapsy, 2 fucking A-plus hacks there, my friend. God, that's why the people tune in right there. Good
exactly
work.
Right.
Fuck, shit.
I don't fly with kids either. I never have. So I couldn't tell you, but we flew the other day with the whole family, and this one family came in with their kid, and it looked like the kid was a corpse. So whatever doctor prescribed the tranquilizer that put that fucking kid to sleep.
Shout out Benadryl.
Holy cow. And the kid, you know, he woke up in the Bahamas, the kid. I was utterly impressed. I mean, they almost just put a handle on his back and put him in the overhead and pulled him back down afterwards. That kid was boom. So if you're against drugging your kids legally, you know, have your doctor prescribe some sort of propofol, whatever the fuck they put.
I mean, really, like the children's Benadryl does the trick.
Does it? Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't knock them out for sure. And I used to do trips back and forth from Japan with Kelsey when Kelsey was little. If you're flying with a really young baby, the best hack, if they are on formula and not breastfed, you can do load up your bottles with the formula before. Don't worry about any of the hot water stuff because all the planes are going to have the hot water option for the people that drink tea. So then you get like 2 ounces of that super hot tea water, then put another ounce of the regular water and make sure it's the right temperature and you're good to go. Just preload those so you don't have to mix and try to warm up things with these newfangled battery-powered warmers and stuff like that. Just go old school methods with the tea water and a little bit of formula and you're good to go.
Beautiful. Airplane tickets, check. Wallet, check. Keys, check. iPads fully charged, check. iPad charger, check. Mm-hmm. That should be on the list with all that other stuff that's just as important. Actually, when I was flying back from Chicago, it was called like the diaper bag, and it was a vending machine that just had like baby wipes, had just all the silly shit. I think it even had chargers and stuff like that. Maybe even some games that you would need. Load up those kids' bags an infant you wouldn't do, but if you have older kids, even I used to get like little travel bags, have a couple candies in it, like a magazine, shit like that. I guess the iPad takes care of all that. That's the biggest thing. And then KFC, I remember they took Shay on the plane and they brought Post-its, and she spent an hour just putting Post-its on, peeling them off. So that's the only other tip that I have. So that's it for the week. We'll see you guys next week. As always, stay safe and stay sane.